On the battlefield. Oh, my Lord.
Thank you, Father.
I come to you this morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Reverend MacMillan, my lovely wife, who stepped out, I believe, to my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take now, Lord, your servant's hand and pull me close to your bosom.
Jesus.
Lord, remove any fear that I may have and present your word as you want me to present it, Lord God, but just hold me and comfort me as I submit to you, Lord. Lord, it is my desire to do your will, Lord, but I need your
help. Yes, sir, God.
Hold me, Lord.
Jesus.
Hold me by the strings of my heart, Lord, and guide me and lead me and direct me in the way that you would have me go, and teach me what to say and when to say it, Lord. Lord, I need to hear from you.
Yes, Father.
Lord, there's nothing to be said until you come. Take now your servant, Lord, and hide me way, way, way behind your cross, Lord. And take the nothing that I have to bring, Lord God, and replace it with power from on high. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, any way that you see fit, but speak a word, Lord. Because someone is waiting for a word. Someone needs a word. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Use me now as I submit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This morning I will be making an attempt, and probably know already that this will go into a part two. But this morning I want to speak to you primarily from the second letter from Paul to Timothy. So Timothy's 2 Timothy, the first chapter. In fact, I'll probably go through most of that chapter, just highlights from that chapter. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read the first 7 verses. Reads thusly: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to speak to you this morning from a thought, if you want to call it a thought, that highlights of Paul's second letter to Timothy. If you just put a colon there and use as a topic, it's a family affair. So highlights from Paul's second letter to Timothy, with the topic being it's a family affair. You know, I can go back in my past, and when I was growing up, I can remember how families used to be. And perhaps it was my perceptions as a child, but I think that there was a difference back then. Families used to be different. You could usually tell which family a person belonged to based on how they acted.
Right, yeah.
You know, I can remember when people would say to me, "You must be a Davis." And many times it was because they could see a family resemblance. Mm-hmm. People say, "All the Davises look alike." But at other times, it was because how I acted, or didn't act.
Come on now.
Because see, back in the day, people would call you on that. If you didn't act right, and they knew what family you were from, they would call you on it. They'd say things like, "You wait till I tell Miss Davis what you were doing."
All right.
And I can remember before you would leave home, many times your parents would tell you that, "Don't you go out there embarrassing me."
All right. So true.
Don't let me hear about what you were doing when you were out there, people would tell.
Yes, they would. Get you too.
That's the way families used to stick together.
Yep.
And I can remember when, if you were a Christian, and you didn't have to necessarily go to church, but if part of your family went to church, then the church was your extended family.
That's right.
And all of them had full rights. Pretty much anybody could get you straight if they had to.
And that's so true.
They didn't have to worry about the parents coming back and saying, "Leave my child alone." Because they were all your extended family. Mm-hmm. It was something about families. I remember a song that Sly and the Family Stone did. Y'all remember that, y'all? No, y'all probably been in church all your life. Don't know nothing about Sly and the Family Stone.
Watch it.
But they had a song that they said, and it's a family affair, and talked about the differences. One of the lines says, one child grows up to be somebody that loves to learn. But another child grows up to be somebody who just loves to burn. You know, and your family large enough, you always had people in your family. Some did the right thing and grew up the right way, and some others went just the opposite and went the wrong way. But it's something about families back then. It was, mama loved them all the same. And
yes,
sometimes if you're a child, I can speak for myself, that sometimes you wonder why, you know, I'm doing all I can do and somebody else doing whatever they want to do, and we getting treated the same way. In many cases, the one who's doing what they shouldn't be doing get more attention than the ones doing what they're supposed to do. That's the way mama did it. And but you know, when you look at what mama's used to do, you think about Jesus. You see, Jesus is much like mama. See, Jesus gives, some people wonder that. You see somebody just, all they're doing is raising sin. Every time you see them, they raising sin, and some people say, boy, why don't the Lord just deal with them? And but the Lord says they need more time. They need some more time. They need some more compassion. They need some other family members to wrap their arms around them and pull them in. They need to take part in this family affair. Family affair. And when we as Christians start to recognize that we belong to a Christian family, and
yes, sir, God.
It's a family affair. You know, this world got so many vices in it and so many things that can get you off track if you're not careful. And
and
sometimes people have the best intentions, but they get diverted. Satan has a way of slipping in sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started studying and making notes for this sermon, one of the first topics that I thought, I was considering using, give me that old time religion, because it's good enough for me. It was good enough for my old mama, and it's good enough for me to use that old time religion. But when I started to research, to my surprise, the first thing I found was the people had a problem with the song. And I'm not talking about just anybody. These are other preachers that had a problem with the song. They said, it's old Satan trying to slip in and guide you the wrong way. He offered a different edition of the song, and it was not bad. He said, give me Jesus as my Savior. He's good enough for me. He said, Jesus will take us all to heaven, and he's good enough for me. But when I started looking at the contrast and seeing what he was trying to say, he had all of the right intentions, and he used all of the right words, and there's nothing wrong with his song. But where the problem came in was our definition of religion.
All right, now.
He was just a bit tangled up. He started majoring in the minors.
Yes, yes.
And he was missing the point. Mm. He used as the basis for his argument was Mark 7:7. He said, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he went on, he said, if you're not careful, and I agree with him somewhat, he said, if you're not careful, religion will take you to hell.
Come on now.
Right.
He said, the world has long worshiped man-made religions. Following the doctrines of men rather than the commandments of God. So he had a real basis, and he was trying to get to a real point. But the question was, just what is religion? So I kept digging, and I could see where God was taking me. I said, this is not where I was trying to go, but God took me where we needed to go. And so the question was, what is religion? You see, if we stick to the initial definition of religion, which is the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal God.
Yes.
See, if we could just stay there, we'd be all right, but we are so educated and smart, we carry that definition further. A definition like a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. That's when you start getting tricky, when people start saying, this is my religion. And in my religion, we do this and we do that. And you start getting moved away from the central point of what God meant for us to understand.
Right,
come back with me. We're going to get there today. You see, Paul, he writes in this letter. He's in prison when he writes this second letter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he will be condemned and executed in Rome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the last letter. I want you to understand this part of you. This is the last letter that we have from Paul. In the entire Bible, this is the last chance that Paul got to speak to us. And in this letter, it seems to be a sense of urgency. And he writes this letter with passion, that the kind of passion that you would expect from a man who knows that he's on death row.
All right, then.
So Paul knew what his role was. Paul said, I am an apostle. God has called me to be an apostle. I know what my calling is. But he says, I want to make sure that you don't miss your calling. He was talking to his son in the gospel. He was talking to young Timothy, but by extension, he was talking to all of us. He said, I am an ambassador to God, but I know my role, but do you know what your role is? He said, I put you in remembrance. As 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. And some of us say, I can't stir up the gift because I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't even, like some of them said, I don't even know what, if there be a Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, read this scripture, and I had a scripture read earlier this morning too, and because what I want you to relate here is that the Old Testament and the New Testament has a unique connection. Bear with me, and you may even have to come back next week to get part two. But you see, what God had, he said, we have to understand, before we understand who we are and whose we are, we have to understand where we come from. You know, if you look at TV now, you'll see it. It's a huge interest now in ancestry.
Yes.
When I started researching that, the fellow's name, his last name is Churchill, he's a member of the Society of Genealogists. He said when people start thinking about ancestry, it usually comes as a result of two things. He said it comes when they go to funerals and around Christmas. But both times is when you start thinking about my own mortality. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And am I doing what God calls me to do? Or am I doing what I call me to do?
All right now.
Why am I here? Both David in the scripture read early this morning and Paul both addressed that same important question. What must I do to please God? You remember that song some people sing? I wish somebody could sing it here. That, what if God is unhappy with the way we live? What if God is unhappy with the way we give? And what if God is unhappy with the way we praise? What if he takes his love away? What if God is not pleased with the way we praise? You see, it's all a family affair. It's what I'm trying to get back around. It's a family affair. When you start talking about religion, faith, it all goes back to your ancestors.
Yes.
Have you got something on the inside? Have you had something passed down to you that's worth anything? I'm not talking about words. I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about, have you had anything passed down to you that's worth anything?
Oh, yes.
All I want to do this morning is introduce you to your family. I want to introduce you to the faith family. That's your Christian ancestry line. I want to show you how God has made this whole thing simple and how complex we have made it. You see, even, and watch what I say, even before Jesus came, our ancestors had faith in him.
That's right.
You better chew on that one a minute. You see, when you look at Psalms 24, it says that the earth
is the
is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
The world and they that dwell therein.
Yes.
For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? In other words, who gonna make it in? Who's gonna end up in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Yes.
The God of his salvation. If somebody named it, it'd be Jesus. Is that not the God of your
Jesus.
Salvation? It's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face.
Mm-hmm.
So even before Jesus came, our ancestors had faith in him.
Yes.
They knew that there was a God somewhere who had all power in his hand, the power to forgive sin and the power to restore. If you look at Psalms 24, as David penned it. And a few years, I think most agree, is about 7 years later, after David had fallen into sin, he knew that he served a God that he could call on. He knew that he served a God that could restore him to his good standing. And
that's right.
In Psalm 51:10, he calls out to God and he says, create in me
God,
a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me.
Yes, sir, God.
He knew that there was a God already. He didn't know, as we talked about in Sunday school, he didn't know what God was doing it or how he was going to do it, but he knew that God had and would make a way.
Yes, sir.
That way is Jesus.
Come on, man.
The truth. The way, the truth,
and
the life. It's Jesus. It's a door. And I explained it in Sunday school. It's a door that comes from the Old Testament and from the New Testament and meets up in heaven, so that God has made a way that Jesus can let the ones in from the Old Testament and the ones from the New Testament.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus is still the only way to God.
Amen.
So then, Jesus came to be the door to all who had faith in him. Whether you are looking forward, which is what the Old Testament did, or whether you're looking back as we do from the New Testament, he has become the door.
Yes.
Now, we are all called to believe to power in the one who fulfilled the faith of our forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just throw 1 Chronicles out here, 1:18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Foolishness.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Now, you may be saying at this point, now, I've heard a whole lot. Now, where are we trying to go with all of this? I'm trying to make it all simple, the Bible. We had some tough questions this morning. Trying to make you see simply what God is trying to say to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I have made it simple. All you have to do is to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Paul, when he writes this letter, he gives us some warnings of some things that we'll go through. He warns us in his previous letter he wrote to Timothy. He told him that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
In the second letter, he tells him to hold on to God's unchanging hand. He said, I put you, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Mm-hmm. Somebody can look back on your mamas and your daddies, and he's trying to get him to stir up that faith that's within you, that faith that could open doors, that faith that you didn't have to read about, that faith that you saw on display, that faith that you find God when you open your heart. So he tells him to stir it up.
Stir it up.
He tells young Timothy to be strong in the grace that you can find in Christ Jesus. He tells him to endure as a good soldier. You see, Paul says there's going to be some rough times coming. But all you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand.
That's right.
Never let go. I want to just give you complete an outline, and then we'll go deeper on next Sunday. God says to us, from the Old Testament and from the New, hunger and thirst after me. Don't worry about what you don't understand. When somebody talks above your head and somebody brings out the Bible and you don't understand what it is, just thirst and hunger after God. I said, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, Lord.
Yes.
I want you to make it known to me, Lord. I'm searching and I'm reading. I'm ever reading, but I'm not gaining what I need to gain. I need you to enter in, Lord. I need you to take charge. I'm hungering and I'm thirsty, Lord. I need for you to guide me and direct me. Tell me what it is that I need to do. So when you look in the Old Testament and the New, it's three basic things I want you to hear. One, you need to recognize God for who he is and what he has done. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. Everything you see, God made it.
All right now.
Everything you got,
all right,
God gave it. So if we can understand that God is God, and above him there is no other. So recognize God for who he is. Number two, strive to have clean hands and a pure heart. Strive to have clean hands and a pure heart.
All right.
Try to make your life work what Jesus did. Go about doing good.
Yes.
Clean hands. See, clean hands are when people see you as being good. When you're doing good things and people approve of it, that's clean hands. But a clean heart, a pure heart, is when God sees it as good. God says, not only do I see what you're doing, mm-hmm. I know why you're doing it.
Right.
So give me clean hands and a clean heart, a pure heart. So you are to strive to have clean hands and a pure heart. And then the third point, when you do the wrong thing, mm-hmm. when you do what's not pleasing to God, mm-hmm. ask Him to forgive you. Tell God that you are sorry that you broke His rules. Tell God that you want Him to forgive you. Then tell God, it's my intent to do better. For God have not given us the spirit of fear. This world that we go through, mm-hmm. the many things that it can throw in your direction, mm-hmm. God has not given us the spirit of fear, the worry about what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my child, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen on my job. And we experience fear, but mm-hmm. fear is not of God.
He
didn't get it. But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
God has given us all that we need for going through this world. So anytime you find fear, you find your loved ones in the hospital, and the doctors may have walked away, and the doctors may not know what's going to happen next. But if you can only hold on to God's unchanging hand and say, I should have no fear,
all right,
because God has already worked it out.
Come on now.
He knew from the beginning of time that this day would come. And if I rest in Him, everything will be all right. Let me just sum up until next week what Paul had to say. When Paul said, I have fought the good fight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
He said, my battle is won. He said, I'm going home.
Yes, sir.
To be with the Lord, but you are left here. And he's talking to us, you've got to go through. He said, but all I can instruct you to do is to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Fight the good fight. And know that God has a crown of righteousness to those who hold out. You got a strong family. You can go back, that whole book is about your family.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If you need strength, go into the book and read about one of your ancestors that came through. Read about the ones that crossed the Red Sea.
Yes.
Read about the ones who knocked down the walls of Jericho. It's a family affair. God loves you. God knows everything that you're going through. And God will be there for you. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for having the master plan.
Yes, okay.
We thank you, Lord, for those things that we may not understand, that you've already worked it out and simplified it. For the people in the Old Testament, you gave them symbols, foreshadowing. For the ones in the New Testament, you gave us Jesus. That all we have to do is to believe in him. We thank you, Lord, for your simplification. We thank you, Lord, for being there. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are. For you are God, and there's no one greater. You are God, you got all power in your hand. You God, and you are accessible to us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.